You're listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to fakeologist.com/radio3. To participate in the chat, go to fakeologist.com/audio chat. Each day, we compress and upload the day's chat, be it big or small. Leave a quick message, do a whole show. All are welcome when it's related to fakeology. Now, on with today's audio.
Good morning, Vietnam. This is Faith speaking, and I will continue tonight. In Europe, it is now 23:23. That's a nice number. I will continue with my analysis of the CNN live broadcast. This is, and as a recap of what I have tried to talk about in the previous sessions, let's say, I have put into the live stream the establishing shot of the CNN live broadcast on 9/11/2000. And there are many points which I did not discuss yet, because I'm going to discuss about all the aspects of this imagery. My focus is on the structure that the broadcast had. I explained the establishing shot in movies and also in conjecture with science. Is very important because it gives us the basic information about the event, the localization of the event, technique of what is going to happen, or what is. And I was to explain that in the live CNN, as we viewed it, this establishing shot was of very poor quality, not only as an artifact, as an image, but also as a structure concealing question that could possibly arise quite by the viewer. So the technique that these images were probably not classical filming with 35mm film, or there are many discussions. I know some of those about what kind of cameras were used, and some analysts with Westcams was mainly pledging for this option. There were others that were saying it is totally normal footage. After so many years and experiences with moving images, one can state in almost 2020 that it's normal. It is not normal filmic material. It is possibly taken with 35mm and very expensive equipment, but the strategy of this image, the aim of this image, is information and not to give away much. So one important point that is for me very obvious now, I viewed so many broadcasts, only from CNN, because CNN at the moment, is that one aspect of imagery is material. This sounds very abstract, maybe, because immaterial, actually. An image is a that on visual science. The visual science matter until, for example, the invention of photography would refer to objects, real animals, real scenes. That means real material world. After the invention of photography, a painter made a differentiation. It has to tendency to create images, and because photography was able to represent in a better way than painter did in the previous time, picture went to abstract forms, Autumn. This is also called the end of representation, cultural, let's say, period. And any kind of image is not able to affect us if it does not have some kind of mind. That means it has to, by its own abstract reference to its own bodily existence. And in this, especially the one live stream, it is a sequence of the CNN live program 2001. There is a big question mark for me with the materialis image. It is not confirmed. It is, of course, you know, this goes all in the direction of speculation, and we, the 9/11 society in the United States, but also in the whole, had a whole movement. The truth, quote unquote, 9/11 and what happened, and the imagery of the broadcasts of the channel have been analyzed from various aspects. And as far as I could follow this discussion until it has always it was always an aim to prove that the image, the footage is fake or is not fake. So the discussion was around TV fakery, which is the truth movement. I am not going in that direction. I want to state that because I am of the opinion that a movement cannot constitute itself around fakery of TV images. There are others that are more important, maybe. And yeah, it takes more than, I don't know, created analysis of some shots or something, the movement. So this is not the direction I'm going. So this is not true with this work on the CNN live broadcast. I'm just trying to enhance my capabilities viewing fake imagery and recognizing it as, and also on why it is fake. So I'm not going to prove that it is fake because I'm not able. It is not possible as far as I understand it now. Another part of my work is, though, to collect those concerning these live broadcasts of CNN and BBC, as I said, is also my plan, but it's far in the future. To collect those questions would be maybe able to prove that this imagery is fake. Some of these questions have been put forward, and there were big debates in the fakery praxis from the truth movement and in the TV fakery part. And as far as I understand, this was all actually not true. Maybe there are also researchers, there were spontaneous researchers. And the other point is, these analyses were all 5 points or 3 points or maybe, I don't know, one more or one less. And I was trying to, that there were no planes in this footage. I have the fortune or the not fortune to come into this very, very late. Actually, in 2017, if I remember correctly, joined Fakeologist the end of 2017, maybe, and I left in 2018 and came back in, etc. But I have a distance to the events, that's the point. Maybe that were so affected by this imagery didn't have the distance or weight It's not possible to talk about planes at all. So for me, this is not a question. I do not have planes. This is just not a question for me. The question would be, how did they get into the imagery? It's of course between Ace Baker and Colabor. I don't know them exactly. We are in Killtown and Marcus Allen and Jim Fetzer and where are the others? I don't want to forget it. The Web Fairy. Let me go to my archive. Okay, maybe this is a good point to make a little excursion in of the TV fakery movement. And to continue with my, I think it's better to go and look already been done. What were the debates, national points? So this is our history lesson. In 11 truth movement. So let's start with the origins. The so-called TV fakery, that's a slogan. It includes partially different aspects of the undertake or of the eyes to prove I'm not going this now because each of these persons, a whole book or maybe more. I'm only trying now to give some sketch of the whatabouts and whenabouts most. So in the origin fakery movement, then was Rose Aga Web Fairy. Webfairy.com. The web said the webfairy.com did also host Gerhard Holmgren, one of the also maybe the first one actual publishing. No, I think not. The Webfairy herself was publishing on the website, as far as I could find out, at fora that are old. Archive.com, and Gerhard Holmgren awoke, as is the word in the scene. In January 2000, Gerhard Holmgren, the awakening story of quote. I remember his article. That's the article Muslims Suspend the Laws of Physics by Jim McCoy. I remember reading his article, having discovered it about January 2002, and at the time seemed incredible. I was just learning how things work. The lies are so in your face, you don't even think to look like that. It means Gary North now. Yes, he's citing this about who wrote another article. Okay, just a minute. Where is it? Okay, I'm continuing with the conference switch here and there. Gerhard Holmgren is in 2002, and another was in 2002. The article he wrote was in 2002. And reading the article by Dorian, the web, Rosalie Graber, the web fairy, was already publishing on her video clips and other material, extract from the broadcast, and it was analyzing the when Gerhard Holmgren joined the, I understood he was hosted on Web Fairy, information that comes out of Marcus Allen from the year 2008. Yes, this is one of the origins of the TV fakery analysis that started. There now is an author who also wrote in 2001 The Perplexing Puzzle of the published passengers list. These are very, very early publications that an intellectual, mostly on the internet, as I understand, or maybe because I'm not, I have no idea what around. Maybe there are big news trading that CNN is closing a shop. But I'm saying this is only the internet. Also, this Jim McMike, Sun article, the first ones, as well as Caraval, which is all in September and October 2012. That means some days or a week or after the events. All these articles are patterned on Yahoo's or other quote anonymous or mailing lists, as it was in the, probably because people were afraid to publish something or to say something. I can only guess. I don't know exactly why. But I think also that this the new instrument played a very big role in the hoax management of, and obviously it was used from the early beginning. Also structure upon the event, and 9/11 did not end on 9/11, but started on 9/11, and maybe it, or it ended maybe 20. I'm not quite sure about that. This doesn't mean that there is no management. It's not so much gate kept anymore because it has burned or sealed scholarly curriculum. There is no chance change in the next, I don't know, many years. It's like the Persian Wars in the or something. It's not just between history and mythology anymore. So yeah, and 9/11 is now a mythology that has become history. And I think that's the point. I was talking about the origins of the TV fakery movement, and one of the very persons of this TV fake, of course, Nico Hau. It is very difficult to say what exactly this person is. There are very different interpretations about him. I do not to state or to come to a conclusion if he was a patient or not. I am only analyzing the roles that the person played. And from this point of view, Nico Haupt had a lead role, the TV fakery. That from the result, at least, was very successful in the way that he was very successful avoiding the success of the TV fakery movement, whatever this means now, because TV fakery is a produced in the so-called truth movement, and that had also bad results in a way, because if one sees the factual, the live broadcast where I think that means that possibly there are some live shots on the ground vision of the towers. I don't know. I have not done this for the whole days and the weeks and event. But although it was clear to everyone that the whole story was not convinced. I mean, with that, it did not convince the people. The majority of the people, as far as I can state it from far away, through evaluating what has been produced, the majority of the people are behind, and architects and engineers, and maybe also missile. Or Well, there was no plane in the Pentagon, so the partial plots of the whole movie. So Nico Haupt was one of the first, and he was very just beyond the nation that one person can produce so many things here. Thousands of blogs and thousands of entries and possibly maybe also multiple personas on the internet already. It becomes that Nico Haupt was the first one to live streaming capacity of the internet in the year 2007, I think. Let me see. Just a minute. Yeah, we have... Okay, the story goes that Nico Haupt in Germany, he was in some kind of artist or maybe student, I wrote in a German serious web platform that's called Telepolis. He wrote an article in 1999, only one article, and he came to New York in 1999, and he was hosted by a very big donor who is curating artistic projects in New York on to this month. And he joined Paula Gloria with her television. She invented the exact date of the first broadcast that she did. Paula Gloria herself can be, her material is still there. She says some business that she had, she wants big money, and that money she created a foundation called the Concordia in the year 1996, that is after the first PSYOP and after the Waco PSYOP and after the O.J. Simpson PSYOP. So already in this prepared stuff for the 9/11 PSYOP. And in that period, Nico Haupt goes to New York. Paula Gloria creates the Concordia Foundation to Gangfeld, who is, as I understood, her husband. In that, they stayed in New York until 19. Then they went to India together with Molly Cheshire, who is a professional camera that can be found also. Stayed in India for 4 years, and Paula Gloria came back to this cable-based program, and the name of it was Rabbit Hole Central. She had, one of the programs she had was Farther Down the Rabbit Hole. Maybe a little bit more about it so that you understand that there was a bigger circle of influences for the persons she interviewed. This guy with the prophecies of Celestine, or how is it called? This esoteric stuff that came out in the 90s together with the new drugs. So the preparations for the Mandela stuff. Now, I'm sorry, I try to forget such names. Anyway, they were doing public broadcasting in New York, in Manhattan, at the Gramercy Park, or Gramercy Park was the apartment where this was located. Now comes how does that have to do with TV fakery? Well, it has to do with the form of power down. Publicly discuss about and TV fakery, and I'm so I cannot talk and work together, but I will find it isn't too far, but I have to find the TV to as I understand it from my data that I have collected, just the listener of the TV Fakery movement, and a different fora by different, for me, unknown, also untraceable character. It was the year when TV Fakery became really big and really mainstream in the thoughts of involved in this whole trying to find out them in the United States I'm speaking about. And the year 2007 was also the year of reactions. It's unbelievable. Many movies and alternative movies and conferences, etc., came out. And the year when September Clues was published, September Clues was in 2007 in the United States, original, let's say, form. I think Simon Schack calls it the first edition, because then there were some things, but I cannot know about the changes because the first release of September Clues was in 2007, April, right? And for the first time, let me see when it was discussed. Oh no, there is also a very important place in order to retrace and find out what happened. In 2007, the forum 9/11 movement was created. I don't know exactly, according to my data that I found, it a character called Killtown, or first registration I found is though by another character who is called, of course, all the people that were researching TV Fakery, Web Ferry was on this forum, and Gerhard Holmgren, and Fred Bullshit Registration, the ones with over 20 posts, so they're not all of them now in my Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth was established. 7, Sophia Smallstorm publishes the second edition of 9/11 Mystery. Hilton Fetzer's Dynamic Duo on 2nd of May 2007, discussing TV Fakery. Quest is also a researcher of TV Fakery. Fred, Pro Inco, Antipodian or Antipodine, who is a logist. Genghis 6199, CB Brooks Johnson, Duppy, Gerard Rockwell, SA1, that is the nick of Nico Haupt, or one of the nicks of Haupt, in 91, but no Prol Art Threat, and Slick, who is also the forum administrator. Bigger, B, Just the Fact, ISO, Rick Wright, Blackheart 77. I'm only mentioning now those who I've found that had empty posts in the forum. That doesn't mean that I cannot only keep all the data in my archive, because then I cannot work with it. And I'm trying to find the narrative going around, and why did this whole TV Faker and in the sand, in S-A-N-D, and not sent when I sent a letter. We were talking about 20.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
What more do you want tacked onto this? 9/11 was an inside job?
Was it?
Who cares? Global acts of terrorism happen every day.
Well, who cares if you're already, you know, as someone who has a distance to the events, because actually I didn't realize the events. I was too busy with working and living with my, didn't have free time, spare time for anything. So I really didn't realize anything. I started living again as political, say, in 2015 or something. But the people that were so easy to manipulate also with these slogans and with these banners and cryptic wording, like, for example, outside job, TV fake, video fakery. I found multiple of these phrases and acts of military wording. I cannot describe it better. All the discussions about what is the psyop, psychological operation, and what is the Delphi techniques, and like that, and your deception and denial, and all this is military. This is, I'm not, nobody is interested in learning military things. Opposite. I don't want to know how the military things, to understand the things that human beings in a social, in a healthy context are thinking. So all this is very, very manipulated and very influenced by all military operators, I'm sure. But yeah, it's either way. So I was talking about Rabbit Hole Central, which I could, there is nothing of this webpage of the Concordia Foundation. When exactly they started, I guess they did not start when because YouTube was a little later. It was not the first day of internet when you started. Internet was already since 92, so for the public after 95, but for those who were more interested and more into this, it was even earlier. It became really big after it was possible to live stream. This had a very big effect on the whole so-called truth movement. And the first online streaming show regarding TV fakery, I just use the words now because otherwise I have to say all the time, quote, is in quotes in this discussion. The first live streaming was in the show Rabbit Hole Central in 2007 on September 6th. And Nico House streaming his video chat. He had one of his that he was publishing within the TV fakery movement, and he had something like the charts, how many every video, and in this one that I opportunity to view on September 6, 2007, September number, what did he say, 800,000, no, 400,000 hits, and 40,000 in some other category, I can find it now. It was only published, so I guess we can take this as a verified thing, we should say. So the movement had some kind of headquarters, one can say, in this rabbit in 2007. Of course, you have to understand that you cannot produce a movie 3 months. So September Clues was also not produced in 1 month. I have never heard how long exactly it took to be produced, but in one says that it was about 4 years. In another he says he forgot to talk with the topic in 2005, came back to no verified. Just as someone viewing the video or whatever one wants to call it, it is more time than some months. It takes minimum 1 year. So, like, being produced already in 2006, and of course 2006 was also the year of public 9/11 mysteries, which is the Sophia Smallstorm, aka Sophia, who has also connections to the Rabbit Hole Central. She was on Arrow Channel in 2006. This can be found in this group in order to verify it. I guess mistakes, but if I do mistakes, you can correct me. Only in the beginning of my research. Yes, S-hole TV fakery split the truth movement, as those who were not interested in TV fake argue, and the TV subjects or people that were, let's say, a TV fake, they were expelled of several platforms. For example, they were expelled 9/11 blogger, and they were expelled from several of the hubs of the 9/11 local group. So I have, it is for me not understandable why exactly this and how it happened, because I have not, for the moment, I have only hypotheses that the TV play within the truth movement that was, as I could trace back, created in 2001 already, was part of the 9/11 psyop. That the researchers within TV fakery were agents or something, in order to maintain the whole psyop that, as I said, started in 2001, the TV fake is the most important because, of course, only for those who believe that there was TV so important. But those who created the PSYOP knew that the TV fakery was an important aspect, and they knew it would come as an aspect and as an intermove. And I think the hypothesis can vary, and if we see that already in 2002, Gerhard Ferry and Nico Haupt starting material in that direction, they might be innocent, but they might also be the TV fakery movement. I cannot have an opinion about, really, it's not worth to have opinions about stuff. It's only interesting to find how did it work as a narrative, and where are the important conflict points, and where are splitting, and where the leaders are changing, and where the parameters within which the leaders are presenting their material. And as I said, 2007 is a very important for TV fakery. Also do with this, of course, with this new possibility, capacity of how do you say, from everyone or everyone who had smartphones. Smartphones came, the iPhone came out, if I'm right, 2006. It was that period. If you have technology, smartphones, and the possibility to live stream, and the possibility even more easy, it is impossible that this is not guided and protected and gated, as the wording in the American. So I think it is also sense that 2007 is an explosion of production from thousands of produce, because it is about to draw the attention of the medium pop specific direction. I have to say that again, I have no overview yet, so please do not make any conclusions out of my statements in regards to anything. I'm just trying to find out data, to interpret them, maybe come to some good hypothesis or whatever. I do not have more than the hypothesis that the angle of the 90s most was and isn't, and was and is the most gatekept. I don't know exactly which aspects are gatekept, because I am not serial. And my concrete interest is the live streams, which I'm going to come after I finish the whole excursion to the origins of the movement. Continue at last. The public access TV producer father, but maybe there are two types of this. Maybe, I'm not absolutely sure about this date, 2006, that's what I found. Gloria Tsakonas. She has maybe Greek origins or half Greek origins. I found it very interesting, just as a narrative element, that the description on the webpage of the Concordia Foundation goes as follows. The Concordia Foundation was created in 1996 by Paula Tsakonas Santilia, who has now returned to her original name as well as the more original Greek Paula Gloria Tsakona, and her husband at the time, Vincenzo Santilia, who were living on the island of Cyprus. The foundation was created with money Paula made from the cellular telephone lotteries of the late 1980s. So this was for me interesting to hear that by creating a foundation, okay, it's important to say who creates it and why she changed her name. Maybe it's also important. She did it with her husband from that period. But why does she explain to us where did she get the money from? I find that a little bit suspicious, to be honest. As if somebody would ask, dear Paula, where did you get the money in 1996 for creating this foundation and this public access TV stuff? And why did you then go to India for so long and didn't just stay in New York and experiment or go to a school to learn really how to do media instead of producing this half-baked TV shows about TV fakery that are so ridiculous to view? And I stated right ahead, maybe it's possible to say, there is no other meaning presentation as to say TV fakery is just insane. Huh? These guys that are doing the Nico Haupt character is wearing false teeth and he's keeping some metal thing in his mouth always when he's talking in order to present some different accent. I made some screenshots from his talks and there is something in his mouth every time he's talking. And he doesn't even really speak German. I heard when he was talking about a German chart that he had, I don't remember the name now, but he didn't pronounce it German. He pronounced it some other thing. I don't know, it was Dutch or Belgish or English or whatever, but it wasn't German. I can't recognize a German accent. Believe me. Benita, anyway. So it was created or established in 2006, September 22. And the first step into the spotlight, let's say, of Father Down the Rabbit Hole, who, I have to state it, is affiliated to Jim Fetzer, of course, and to Morgan Reynolds. Morgan Reynolds is the official Bush administration representative, whatever, who was one of the earliest, the late earliest. The earliest were Web Fairy, Nico Haupt, Gerhard Holmgren, and the new earliest were September Clues, Ace Baker, Morgan Reynolds, and Marcus Allen. And Morgan Reynolds is also affiliated to Farther Down the Rabbit Hole, which was the Rabbit Hole Central, and there was the first ever streamed and with live call-in show. These are very new artifacts. And these are very powerful also artifacts in 2007.
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support. In my dream, I
have a plan. Yes, I was talking about the TV fakery movement I said I do not things in quotes because almost everything is in quotes. So the spotlight on TV Fakery was in late 2006 already, and the breakthrough in the broader, let's say, truth movement was in 2007, as far as I could trace back. Just some interesting points from 2006 already. We have the establishing of Paula Gloria's TV network, cable network, which is a... I don't remember now with certainty if it is a Warner Brothers affiliated, this cable access in New York, Manhattan. I'm not quite sure about that. Then we have already the intervention of professionals here. Professional cameraman Fox Eric Salter writes a critical review of VTC No Plane Theories as an answer to Ace Baker's analysis of the Chopper 5 shot, which he did in 2006. South Park publication publishes one of his comic films. Boys want to find out what happened on 9/11. A specialist is being shot, but it comes out it was faked. It was the content of it. Judy Wood publishes her Star Wars Beam Weapons and Star Wars Directed Energy Weapons on Dr. Judy Wood articles on October 17, 2006. But we have also the TV Fakery guy still digging, establishes his new possibly blog. I guess he was researching already for a long time. But he establishes a blog called 9/11logicblogspot.com on October 26, 2006. Spooked, another probably big researcher of the TV Fakery, Fraxia, as I call it. Just for understanding, I call it like that. 2006, November 12th, Spooked publishes Hunt the Boeing, WTC2 edition. He established this blog on that date. Ningen could be Thai, I don't know. In December 2006, establishes his blog Ningen's Blogspot.com. We have, of course, here also the termite that erupts suddenly in the narrative. The controlled demolition guy around Stephen Jones. Stephen Jones was together with the scholars of 9/11 truth, and they split up because Jim Fetzer was in favor of Judy Wood's theories, and so Stephen Jones created his own scientists or scholars for 9/11 truth and justice after a disagreement with the 9/11 scholars, and he claims now that thermite brought the towers down, but he did not deliver the chain of custody of his dust samples. One dust sample allegedly came from Jeanette McKinley, who was a truther. But this is all not true. He was criticized because of that custody stuff. And so, as we see, the conflict around the interpretations of the 9/11, what happened and what not, are going into a crisis moment in the end of 2006. Bob Bowman, a LIHOP advocate, publishes It Was Treason. Scholars for 9/11 Truth go through the crisis between Stephen Jones and Judy Wood. Does molten aluminium glow? I don't know. But we have to take into consideration that they are, of course, talking about the images that they were viewing on TV. So the whole discussion is very in the air. Robert Balsamo, a pilot, joins the discussion as John Doe X or JDX. He started questioning the events of 9/11 in May 2006 after seeing the five frames showing the Flight 77 hitting the Pentagon on CNN. They were published in that year. And he was not satisfied seeing no plane in those frames, claims the Flight 77 flight data recorder found at the Pentagon rubble proves that Flight 77 did not hit the Pentagon. We are already now in the PSYOP. all these text structures. When you start reading a text and you realize after 3 seconds that you are dazed and confused, that's the sign of any text that comes with such an attitude and such that is part of the psyop. TruthMove.org was created in May 2006. This was possibly an Alex Jones. How do they say that in English when plants have roots and you take you cut a piece of the root and you put it somewhere else and then the plant grows again. This was just maybe the connection to Alex Jones. Nico Haupt establishes another new forum called 911tvfakery.blogspot.com. In June, Sophia Smallstrom, I already mentioned her in 2006. She also gave an interview on Harold Channer, who is the other guy on the Manhattan News Network with the broadcasts in through cable TV. That was already his, I believe, and who was also a collaborator of Paula Gloria. This interview is very interesting. You can find it on the webpage of Harold Channer. She's very young in that time, and she's a very smart person. 2006, December, the Scholars for 9/11 Truth and Justice are established. That's the new forum of Stephen Jones with the termite explosives. The other part of Jim Fetzer stays around the narrative dot of there were no planes, but there were exotic weapons, Arca Judy Wood. It's too much to read it now all down, but David Ray Griffin, for example, he was explosive in 2007. He publishes 5 books in 1 year. This is impossible for one person, so maybe he's the new Shakespeare. I don't know. Fred Bullshit Registration, a very prominent, no-planer TV fakery researcher, registers at the new Forum 9/11 Movement, ORG. Fred Bullshit Registration, I cannot pronounce it, is one character to whom also Simon Schack refers to as a source of inspiration in his interview that he gave to Fakeologist.com in 2012 or 2013. I can find it if you want to know it exactly. But I don't want to search all the time. That's why I'm just talking out of memory sometimes. Yeah, then we have James Corbett also jumping on the scene, and James Fetzer publishes a book. Judy Wood goes to the Copper Union and presents her stuff. Kevin Barrett starts with his Truth Jihad, my epic struggle against the 9/11 big lie. Kevin Barrett is a supporter of the mainstream narrative, with the difference that he doesn't believe that Arab terrorists were the culprits, but it was a so-called inside job, I guess, or outside job. I'm not exactly sure which plot he follows. Let's come back. We have also 2 cinema movies in 2017, and Richard Gage becomes prominent in 2007 with the calling into life of his initiative about the controlled demolitions. Sybil Edmonds publishes the book. Sybil Edmonds is another advocate of the first secondary main plot, the demolitions and inside job. Victor Thorne, I just didn't know actually that he was also involved in 9/11 stuff. Victor Thorne publishes the book Phantom Flight 93 in 2007. And the first forum that allows TV fakery research is the 911researchers.com, which is established in 2007, January 2nd. It's very late. Where were all these guys previously? I don't know, maybe you can help me also to complete my data if you know things and if you are also interested in joining the discussion and this kind of retracing the the narrative plots of the 9/11 PSYOP. We have an important publication in 2007, January, the 9/11 Octopus 4. That means that Octopus 9/11 Octopus had already at least three other parts, which I could not find on the internet. This one is titled Treason or Devastation. It's a video produced by Fred B.S. Registration. It has also a subtitle. I say it again, 9/11 Octopus 4, Treason and Devastation, Exploding the Zelikow Myth. I watched the video. It is very interesting, but I cannot evaluate it. I just noticed that most of the material of Fred B.S. Registration has vanished from the internet. It was really impossible to find anything else. It's about TV fakery, and he goes also in political interpretations and directions, but I have viewed so much material, I don't want to say more. Maybe I would make a mistake, and because this character is a very important character in this narrative, I would not like to say something bad about him or something false. I'm not sure that this is now a TV fakery related blog. I don't have such a note, so I just don't refer to it. Of course, from the main opposition narrative with the controlled demolition, as well as the main secondary plot of No Planes But Exotic Weapons, there are many productions like conferences. For example, in February 2007, there was the 9/11 Accountability Press Conference. Peter Phillips publishes on the same day Global Dominance Group and 9/11 Accountability. No, wrong. This is a talk by Peter Phillips on this conference. I'm sorry for that mistake. And in regards now to the TV fakery material, we have a very, very much many productions by Killtown in this period. In March 11, 2007, Killtown publishes a blog post with an analysis of the Shanksville black boxes. On March 20, he publishes the Boeing 757 channel. It's also about Shanksville. In 2007, in March 26, there is another blog established, the Arabesque 9/11 blogspot.com, which is a no TV fakery blog, but it's also in 2007 when it starts. And the second edition of Sophia Smallstorm's movie, came out. Architects and engineers are now definitively established as an organization in May 1st. Peggy Carter, who I found also is a TV fakery involved person, has an interview on May 16th, 2007 on Jim Fetzer's Dynamic Duo, which in that period Jim Fetzer was doing together with Kevin Barrett, if I'm right, and later he stopped it with Kevin Barrett, or maybe this is not wrong, this is not right. We go again back to Killtown, who is very productive. Maybe Killtown is also kind of Shakespeare. I'm not sure. I have viewed much of his material. I also found interviews of his on Jim Fetzer's show, and a debate he had with Jeff Hill about his identity. They tried to out him who he is. I don't know if he is the one who Jeff Hill says he is. I'm not interested in that. But it is impressive for me as a narrative expert to see that Killtown is very, very productive. He's almost as productive as Nico Haupt. In May 22nd, he goes on Jim Fetzer Dynamic Duo and discusses TV fakery. He has also multiple blogs, multiple blogs, and he's also the creator, as is stated. Not as I could verify. As I said, the Forum 9/11 researchers, no, Forum 9/11 movement had as the first registered person or character. It has Slick, And Kirito joins some days later. Actually, he joins the 4911 movement on May 30th. And Kiltown has also in the previous period, before 2006, he has a webpage or a part of a webpage. I don't know how this worked in those times because I was not on the internet in the beginning, the early 2000s. It is the Geocities. I think it was with Yahoo something. And maybe this was some early form of, let's say, publication fora with email lists that were going around. I mean, the email list you could write to all these people. We saw that the early opposition to 9/11 was created through these email lists on Yahoo and on Geocities, and I don't know the exact names of these platforms. And Kiltown has also a page or a space on Geocities.ws Kiltown, and he has also an early blog called Fake Plane Crash Videos.blogspot.com. He publishes under various names: Kiltown, Zippy, Ronson, ATH911, Swede. Some people tried to out him. As I said, I'm not interested in that. But there is an interesting audio with Jim Fetzer that he did, where he's talking on the matter of TV fakery. And I would propose it, or how is it said? It is one of the early, really, debates about fakery. Of course, Jim Fetzer is not a reference for good, but Fetzer means it is a network which gets attention. And I can mention, just for the historical correctness of this, that because I have some notes on this audio, I just don't have a real transcript because I have not found out how to transcribe audios. It's possible on YouTube if you open the transcript function that YouTube has, you can have a raw transcript. But in order to take an audio, to put it into a video, to upload it to YouTube, it has many stages of transformation, which I do not have the machines to do it fast, so I just take some notes. But I will give you an idea about the first interview by Kiltown on Jim Fetzer in, as I said, in 2007, May 22. Kiltown says, "The Nodet shot of the North Tower impact, Grable has analyzed already the shape of it. The fireman on the ground, the color of the smoke, is unusual for plane impact. Fred B.S. registration did videos and compared them. Nodet filmed also the second plane impact, which is suspicious. The background is perfectly still. The plane was inserted on a still frame." These are my notes out of the interview with Kiltown, done by Jim Fetzer. And for me, it is helpful to see that these actors, as I call them, actors as in act, they are acting. This doesn't mean they are paid for acting. It could also mean that they are paid, but this is not of interest at the moment. These characters are already acting for a long time. They are not new. They are interested in this matter from the early days of after 9/11. Actually, I'm sure that there are thousands more that were interested, but they did not maybe have the platforms or the connections or whatever. This was in the first 14 minutes on the interview. Then after 14 minutes, the discussion goes to the wing totally enters the building in the NIST video of the second plane impact, which is, this is now me speaking, it's obviously the Hazarkhani shot. The wing is slicing through the wall. The plane should be chopped off in reality. This is what Kiltown is stating. And this is an interesting point which I found because I never heard this again in all the other material that I have read and researched at the 33rd minute of the interview. Q-Town is referring to the South Tower exit holes that were researched by Still Digging. And I have never followed this discussion. Maybe this discussion went away, or maybe it was very important, or maybe it was not important and went away. I don't know, but I have not found it again. The discussion goes that the exit holes are not visible after the represented as an impact contact of the images. So it could be interesting, I think. I will try to find something, or if somebody has something about this exit hole study stuff by Still Digging, I'm very interested in it. Q-Town published this material on his website, as he said in this interview. He published it on q-town.blogspot.com, but this blogspot is not online anymore. Yes, and he says something also about the second plane nose cone that appears to exit the backside of the tower, although there is no hole at the spot. And this is also an argument that I, until I listened to this interview, the whole discussion about the nose-out shot, which was mainly a debate and an argument between Ace Baker and September Clues, was around the technical elements of how was the plane image faked. And Ace Baker was arguing that it was a layering job, and September Clues was arguing that it was, I think in the movie at least, it is also a layering. But later the statements changed by September Clues, and they were saying that the whole thing is fake. Anyway, here is a new, for me at least, aspect of this debate, which is that the hole is not visible. If there isn't something comes out from somewhere, there must be a hole, and this hole is not visible. So this must be also a good argument for fakery. Q-Town mentions also at 43 of the interview the chopper four shot of VNBC, which is a rare shot which is not shown live but only later. That means this is a shot that allegedly was taken live by a chopper, but it was not shown at the moment that it was taken, and that the zoom in and zoom out exactly at the moment of the fireball was suspicious. And also, that's all about this interview of Q-Town on Jim Fetzer. Q-Town, as I said, registers at Forum 9/11 Movement on May 30th, 2007. Same date as Quest, same date as the forum is established, as I could trace it back. Fred joins one day later, Pro Inco, also on the 31st. I think I mentioned that already, Genghis, Antipodean, and the others. And September Clues is released in the United States on 5th of June 2007. But as we saw, it is already in the charts. So how does this work? So maybe, I don't understand it. I should ask the September Clues people to... Maybe they know how it was distributed there. Maybe it was distributed already earlier, or maybe they were collaborating with others and they had already seen much of these. I don't know. Or maybe it came out of the blue. I don't know. The oldest entry about anything related to September Clues in the United States that I found was... I think this is important. Well, I have here... No, this is not verified, because this is an information that is from some discussions between Marcus Allen and callers in his show. I could not verify it. Someone said that Simon Shark was on a Rick Adams show, but I could not verify it on the Rick Adams show. The oldest... information that I have about Simon Chuck in relation to the United States, let's say, truth movement and TV fakery research And again, I have to go back. Oh, let me see. Okay, this discussion is not interesting because I don't know. Maybe Simon Schack is one of these guys under pseudonyms. I don't care. So anyway, September Clues was published out of the blue in the United States, and it went directly into the charts, and it opened up the discussion about TV fakery on, it had the possibility to get momentum and to convince many others and to really have an impact. But this did not happen, as I understood, in this retracing of the truth movement. And as I tried to explain already, in 2007, probably because the TV fakery movement became stronger or had more productions, the main opposition plot about the demolitions was also very, very productive. Now this is just a joke, huh? Don't take it serious. Maybe Gerhard Holmgren is just a name for Simon Schack. Maybe he had this name before. I don't know. I cannot know. It's not possible to know. Rosalie Grable is an existing person. I know that. I have viewed an interview of hers where she is bodily in the studio Harold Channer in 2008. And she gives an interview there about her whereabouts. She is a suspect character, of course, because she had this role in the whole evolution. But the movement has to judge. The people have to judge. But Gerhard Holmgren, I have seen only one video of his where he's really not convincing. Could be anyone who is just talking some... Could be just a cover character, that's what I mean. Many characters are just invented, we know that. It's part of all these operations because they do not have 25,000 people that are working on one plot. They have maybe 50 or 100. And so they have also restricted ability to change characters and to whatever. Anyway, I'm going to... I was making an excursion to 2007 when the TV fakery, as I said, this is only the label. It includes many options of analysis. It includes agents that operate in order to destroy the scientific research about the fakery in the videos of 9/11. The wording plays a role. Some were talking about TV fakery, others were talking about no planes. The no planers became the black label. For example, if one goes to the main opposition websites like 9/11 Truth ORG or whatever, they have some banners on the right where it says we do not accept any no plane theories, or also this TV conspiracy TV where I'm going to get my material for my analysis. It is stated there that no planers, they do not accept no planers. So this is a part of the competing narrative conflicts that are obviously created from the get-go and kept alive and watered, if I may use this expression. Nonetheless, the TV fakery is very productive in those times, and this is now an interesting point, which I have not understood already, how it came to this point, and it is important because it has to do with the conflicts between Ace Baker and September Clues. And I'm talking about the 9/11 Wisconsin conference where Ace Baker presents September Clues. And he presents not only September Clues, he presents also Still Digging. And he presents it is a video, but it is also on the Jim Fetzer website as an audio. It's on 4th of August 2007. And this was a very fast organized conference from the side of Jim Fetzer. Other participants there were Jerry Liepart, Mace Baker, as I said, Morgan Reynolds, Jim Fetzer, Bob Fitrakis, Judy Wood, and as Simon Schack stated in later interviews that he did on Hoaxbusters and on with Marcus Allen and Chris Kendall, and also on Fakeologist, Ace Baker informed him that he was going to present his material, but for quite some time it was vague how it comes that he presents it. It was very fast set up, this whole thing, and Ace Baker, I tried to find when that did he start his research into 9/11, and I traced him back to a character called Truth Search 1234 on a forum called Skeptics.org. It was absolutely 100% him, because he was discussing there in 2006 about TV fakery, and he was banned then. So Ace Baker was not a nobody, let's say. He did not come out of the blue, but he was also a member of Forum 9/11 movement. Yeah, but it is still a curiosity to me that he presents September Clues. I just don't understand it. The main points of his presentation were that he does not agree with the so-called total fakery angle of September Clues, which is not correct. September Clues does not have a total fakery aspect. September Clues actually has a layering angle in his analysis. This is regardless of what is stated later in the forum. If someone today watches September Clues, and that's, for example, also a reason why I would really like to see.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
I imagine that right now you're feeling a bit like Alice, tumbling down the rabbit hole.
Yes, I was saying that is the reason why I would really like to see a product like September Clues, which includes the research that the forum, bluesforum.info, has done later about the same topic. At the moment, September Clues is not representative for the state of research that has been done. The state of research today in this matter of 9/11 is that the complete live broadcasts were not live. They were just live broadcast, but not live taken. So from this is and it is a very curious aspect of this debate. If one sees that September Clues has the same main message as Ace Baker, that there was layering was used. Ace Baker disagrees with Simon Schack's analysis, or with September Clues' analysis in Re, that the layering technique used was like that and not like that. This is an inside discussion which nobody can follow, and which is absolutely distracting from the main point, which is the whole shot is fake. The whole shot is fake. So, as Antipodean newly wrote in a comment on Fakeologist.com, the question is, why was this shot shown? And if we view it from an aspect that this is the shot that made all the trouble in 2007, where TV fakery was becoming so big, one could say, I'm sorry, I'm interrupting my thought, because I was joined by somebody. Fakeologist joins me. Hi, Fakeologist.
Hello, Faye. How are you? Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. How are you? I'm talking about 9/11, as you know. This is my only hobby.
And, oh, perfect. You're the exact person I want in this area for chatting. That's terrific. Well done. Sometimes everyone goes off topic, but you're on topic. 9/11, perfect.
Yes, I think you were not listening. I guess you were not listening because I'm talking for a while now, and I was in the middle of one, let's say, excursion that I am doing into the roots and the evolution of the TV fakery movement.
Nice.
I think if you would like us to talk about something else, this is okay, so I stop now my presentation here so that we can talk, and later I can continue. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I don't want to interrupt you. I just want to wish you a Merry Christmas, because this is the 2 days where I said I would be around and greet people that came by, and you came by, and greetings to you and yours.
It's still your Christmas 2 days?
Oh, no, not today, but you didn't come yesterday, so I figured 2 days I'm off.
I was too
busy here in Canada.
Okay, yeah.
So happy Boxing Day. Do you have Boxing Day there?
What is Boxing Day? I don't know that.
It's another holiday here in North America or Canada.
No, here the 27th is today, if I'm right. The 27th
It's 27th there now. It's 26 here. You're 6 hours ahead.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I forget that always. I think the Earth is flat.
Yeah, well.
The 27th is Stefan's Day, they call it here, the Christian.
Okay, I don't know who Stefan is.
It's some holy person of the Christian culture, a religion, I'm sorry. And, the 27th is also a no-work day, so day off, that means.
Yeah, I get that. I like no work days or low work days.
Yes. And for those who are family, it's the second great family on the Stefan's Day. So in the previous days, you are with the children, with the grandmothers, with the close, small family. Then it becomes the secondary, and then the third. And they eat all the time here in Switzerland.
Are you in Switzerland or Greece now?
No, I'm in Switzerland. No. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. So you're talking 9/11. That's fantastic.
Yes. You want to? You want us to talk about? I don't know. If you're interested in.
Well, I actually was going to sit down and go watch The Two Popes with Anthony Hopkins.
Okay. The Two Brothers.
I don't watch many movies. Yeah. And I'm trying to catch up a little bit.
Is that the one with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Hopkins being brothers?
No, I think it's supposed to be the story of based on a real story about Ratzenberger, the pope that nobody liked, or he didn't like being pope.
Yeah,
the first pope to actually step down and not die in a long time or forever. I'm not sure which.
Okay. Yeah, I don't follow the stories yet. I've heard about it, yeah. Must be a newer movie. Or not?
Yes, within the last year. Okay. I think it's a Netflix-sponsored movie.
Ah, you go to Netflix app?
I don't have Netflix, no. I still use the old torrent system, which actually is the best. And the one reason I support the torrent system from a technological point of view is it doesn't choke the internet to death with streaming. Streaming is the absolute bane of networking, if you know about networking. If everyone has their own stream, it's very destructive to the internet freeway. It just chokes it up.
Really?
Yes.
Are you saying that the internet has a specific capacity and it could be used all at once?
Well, yes. The internet is a spider web. A giant spider web. That's why it's indestructible. But there are certain major connections between webs.
Yeah.
And they can get congested. I wouldn't say they could be destroyed, but they can be congested like the highway and slow right down. There's no doubt at 8 o'clock Eastern time, there's a noticeable slowdown. Certain connections, not every connection.
I have that also. Really?
Because everyone starts streaming. Now, the power of torrenting Okay. Is to torrent means to share a file. Now, obviously, a movie is just a file,
mm-hmm.
a large file. And what that means is when somebody shares a torrent, it literally shares pieces of the torrent and collects them from multiple locations, multiple servers on the internet. So if I am downloading a large movie like Joker in high definition, my assembly of the file on my local computer will come from 20, 50, 500 different locations.
I've done that once with some not so Freemason. You remember this person that was here? He had such torrents with audios, and I used that once. It means something like many computers that are around are sharing the same stuff, something like that.
Right. They're sharing the exact same copy of a file. Obviously, if you had a different copy of Joker, then I could not share that because it would not make sense to take a piece of your file and put it with my file. It has to be the exact same copy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how torrenting actually works. It keeps track of who has the exact same copy.
Okay.
So therefore, once I am done downloading the movie, it's on my own hard drive. There's no streaming required. So I can start and stop it.
Isn't it illegal to download movies?
I don't know.
Different countries
have different rules.
I mean, here in Switzerland, it is legal to stream. So if I go to whatever I go sometimes, very rarely, to watch a movie, it is legal. But if I want to download it, I think it is illegal.
Well, I think the reason why, first of all, I'm not really stealing it because I'm not selling it. And they're not losing any money from me because I would not pay for it anyway. Because if I had to pay for it, I wouldn't watch it. So are they losing money? It's this question, if a tree falls in the forest and no one is there to listen to it, does it make a noise?
No, I think there is a legal situation. If you use, it's the same with music also. If you use pieces of productions, whatever, for a private reason, you can do it, it's legal.
Yeah.
But if you show the movie then in a cafe, for example.
Sure, then you're making money.
Then you make money.
I am not airing the movie. I am merely looking at it. I don't even say I'm looking at it. Maybe I'm just putting it on my sharing site. I'm not charging anything, and I'm not making anything for it. So
I'm not accusing you up.
Well, no, it's a gray area. I don't mind discussing it. It was a question you asked. I didn't take it as an accusation.
You like gray areas because they inspire thoughts.
It's a gray area because the reason why nobody who is selling something would support it is because they can't control it.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot control it. You can control the stream. You cannot control. If I serve you a stream, it's from my server, and I can control it.
Mm-hmm.
But if I share a book with you, then obviously you're not paying for it. I might have paid for it, or I might have borrowed it from the library. But it's
the same, yeah. Absolutely.
It's very gray. I can see why if you were selling it, you would say it's illegal. But if you are consuming it and not reselling it, then I'm not sure it's illegal. Because before the internet, I used to record songs off the radio on tape. That wasn't illegal.
Wasn't it?
Now, they weren't great quality, and I didn't always catch the beginning and end of the song, but I got most of it.
Yeah,
it was inconvenient
as
hell. It was very inconvenient.
That was a really... I think that was a very romantic period because you could, or we at least, when I was young, we did tapes, you know, with where we had the cover of this DDK or what were the names, I don't remember. And you had the cover which had the small lines and you could write with your marker at 0023 starts the next song and that's the title. And
it was a nuisance. And same with recording TV. On the videotapes. It was a real nuisance. Actually, the digital revolution has really helped make that handy dandy. But anyway, it's a better way of distributing large files, movies, because it doesn't incapacitate the bandwidth of the internet, which should be open. And quite frankly, streaming is kind of antithetical to the whole idea of the internet, where a stream ties up vast resources. And are they even paying for those vast resources, these big companies? I don't know if they are, actually.
But one question up, just if I could maybe understand it more. So the let's say, material aspect of the internet, you know, if we are talking about electricity, then electricity has the same problems. Huh? If everyone cooks tea at 4 o'clock in London, they have to push up the production or something because they cannot store it. So what is the material side of the internet? It's also electricity? Is it also electricity?
Well, they call it bandwidth, which is the amount of bits and bytes a certain pipe is able to carry at one time.
Okay. But the pipe is electricity, or what is the pipe of the internet? I don't understand this.
Well, a wire, I guess they send frequencies down a copper or a glass wire, fiber optics. And it can only, fiber optics, which is glass, can take much more.
Much more
signal. So it's different signals shooting down, little packets, as they're called. They're packets. Okay. They're little self-contained packages that go floating down the highway. They have a routing on them where they came from and where they're going. And when the little packages get to the other side where they're going, they all get assembled by a computer.
You know, into something
the proper order.
Mm-hmm. We should research this from a fakery aspect. Because I think
is there some fakery here?
It sounds so fake, you know. I have seen when they installed, I've told you many times, I live in a very old house, and when I came here, they had to install the internet stuff, you know, in the...
Yeah, the wiring.
The wiring, exactly. And then when it changed... It changed sometime in 2012 or, I don't know, 10, 11, 12, thereabout. And they had to come and to change it to this glass.
Oh,
glass
you got
wire.
Fiber optics.
Yes.
How much do you pay a month? Do you have that? Because you don't have it.
I don't use it. I just use that from my phone. I just plug it with, what is it called? USB tethering. So I have only an internet connection through my smartphone, and I plug my laptop.
Oh, yeah, do you have unlimited data?
Yes.
Okay.
I think so. But anyway, the guy came here, and I said to him, can I see this cable? Yeah, he showed me the cable. It is really very fine, transparent material. And I said to him, okay, and what is coming through this cable? He says, the data. And how exactly do they come? What form do they have? Is it electricity? Is it dangerous to touch it? Can I eat it? How does it smell? He didn't know. He was only the mechanic.
Well, but I think it's flashes of light with optics. So the frequency
light.
At which the light is flashed. Yeah, it's light. It's. I think that's the difference. Whereas... copper cable, you get sound frequencies. Different frequencies are pulsed through the copper wire. I could be wrong. And glasses, fiber optics is essentially glass, so they flash light and it can travel very quickly and very far. And you need an optical modem at the one end, your end. And over here, they literally have to run the fiber optic cables down the street and up to your house. And that's expensive, as you can imagine.
Yeah.
And I don't have it here, but I know places that do have it, and they're pushing it hard for sale. And they sell it about, I would say, twice as much as the copper pricing. So it's hard to justify for most people. They don't need the speed.
Yeah.
And because of the web, where the pathway from fakeologist to your house or fakeologist to my house.
Mm-hmm.
Fakeologist is in Florida. So the pathway to my house could take, well, you can check the pathway it takes. And if the slowest connection, the slowest subroute from A to B is the speed, it will be the overall speed. So just because I have a lightning speed to downtown Toronto, well, that's not going to help if there's some really slow speeds between Toronto and Florida.
Okay.
So really, we're limited to the slowest section of the routing, which is a big problem. So it doesn't really help to have lightning fast speed to your main provider.
But what about the through air? No, I mean, I could, for example, from my smartphone, I can connect my laptop with Bluetooth tethering.
Yeah, okay. I understand. I do that too sometimes through my phone. You need a big data plan. You have to have unlimited data.
Yeah, what is the need? What is the need for all these cables if you can?
Well, you don't need it. But the over the air is limited to a certain bandwidth as well.
That's what I don't understand. Why?
Well, because there's only so many frequencies that your phone broadcasts at many frequencies now. As they take away the television and radio frequencies from the past that used up certain sound waves through the air, they're slowly taking them away because people aren't using them. And they're handing them over to the mobile data.
If you want to encourage more audios like these, please go to Fakeologist.com and click the Patreon button under the donate section. For $1.19 a month, you can call yourself a verified listener, and for $9.11 a month, a benefactor who will get a shout out every time Ab does a show. Thank you for your support.
Yeah, so there's only so many frequencies that go through the airways. And, of course, any frequency going through the air can be disrupted by weather more so. And also, the more people that use it, there's less frequency to share through the air.
Okay.
And this is really evident in hotels. If you ever stay in hotels or motels that have so-called free Wi-Fi,
I don't stay ever in hotels.
Okay. Well, I have, and they used to be. You used to be able to plug your computer into an Ethernet connection in the room.
Okay.
Which would be fast because you're not sharing it. It's just a big. You get your own wire. But they all, almost everywhere I go, they don't have that anymore, and it's all Wi-Fi. And the Wi-Fi is almost unusable because everyone in the hotel is sharing a set of frequencies.
Yeah, it's
and if they're streaming at night watching Netflix, you will get almost zero share of that frequency, and the Wi-Fi is almost unusable.
Yeah.
And I almost always use my phone and the data through the cellular frequencies, which, of course, I don't share necessarily with anyone in the hotel. I share it with other people that are using the phone system, and most phone systems have a limit to the data they allow anyway, but as it becomes unlimited, it'll get worse in terms of, because there'll be more people streaming.
We have to pass this topic over to Xylophilex and Unreal. It sounds very fake.
Yeah.
They have to find out what exactly is going on with this stuff. No, well, it's really very, very difficult to grasp.
I can tell you that, and not really, it's not that hard. I wire everything in my house. I run wiring up and down. Everything is wired here because I don't like Wi-Fi because it's too slow and unreliable.
So everything makes headache. Bluetooth makes me headache.
Well, probably because it is a very light frequency. Wherever you can run a wire, you should. If you can run a wire to your ISP or internet connection in your house, you should do it. You should run a wire to your laptop if you can. It's just better. You'll get better results quality-wise. So that's the tech lesson of the day. I've said this many times over the air, over the broadcast in the past.
You had an interesting discussion with JRV, the youngster in Hanoi. And I listened to it today.
Mm-hmm.
Let me remember.
Well, he's a leading skeptic. Yeah. There's no doubt about it.
She's a leading skeptic, and she put some interesting points also for thought about rheologists and rheology.
Mm-hmm.
It was somehow a complaint also to yours, to you?
Yeah, well, the Discord server is not really under great control of mine. It's really a service just to bring voices together, make it easier. Because people love to chat. It's not my website in the sense that I don't really curate it in the same way, and I don't want to. I have enough to do with my own website. And it's not permanent. It scrolls away over time, and even the pictures get deleted off Discord eventually. I notice sometimes when I post them on my website, my website reports a year later that the pictures are no longer on the Discord, so obviously Discord is clearing them off as well. Okay. So I don't own any of this.
Mm-hmm. But the ones on the website, they stay because they are on your server? Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and I do back it up, so it is my, or my, that's why even the fake tube is on. More, it's not on my server, but it's on WordPress's, and they have deleted one, the New Zealand video.
They have deleted that? Really?
Oh, yeah, they threatened me with it. Mm-hmm.
Oh, didn't hear that. What did they say? Did they write to you? Take it down, or otherwise we close your stuff?
Yep.
Okay.
That's just a video server, though. They don't own my data. They serve the video.
Okay, what does it
now,
mean?
That means the video's on their server.
Ah, okay.
I don't remember. I have to look. Someone wanted the video on Twitter.
I have it if someone wants it.
I think I have it too, but I'm not sure if I'm serving it my website anymore. Actually, I have it too. And if anyone's listening, it's not a big deal. It's nothing to look at. It's just a psyop that they're playing with regards to it. Because they're trying to, they don't want anyone to see it because you'll see that it's fake. That's why they don't want you to see it.
Yes, and the other aspect is to play it high, you know. I think they passed the legislation about gun ownership in New Zealand after this child. That's what I read.
Okay, can you hear that?
Yes, I hear it.
That's the Inside the Mosque video, so I got that one, and I labeled it Mosque Snuff.
Yeah, it's a snuff video, actually.
Yeah. Okay, I have it. 16:56 minutes. I do have it.
Yeah.
It's already from March. I don't know if I'm serving it, though. If anyone wants it, I can just send it to them by WeTrans.
Would like to own it, It's important
it's
to analyze
it.
It.
The reason why it's banned is they don't want anyone to see that it's fake. That's it.
It's the same with the Charlie Hebdo video, if you remember.
Oh, yeah.
It was the one with the AK-47, is it called, I think, where he's shooting. And this was my awakening. I've told this story many times. Yeah.
Well, it was a French thing, and it didn't make any impression here at all.
Oh, you have so many impressive things in America. You don't.
The European ones just don't translate over the ocean.
Yeah.
Nobody cares. They're too far away.
But one so important but interesting info. I came across the publication of a French movie on the first anniversary of 9/11. And I didn't know that previously. It is I'm not sure if there were other movies that were produced, you know, big movies, cinema movies. And But in
I have all the New Zealand videos. If anyone wants them, I'm going to share the link. I did share the link in the past. I'm going to share it here in the live stream show notes.
So what kind of link is that to the website?
No, it's a link to my server. Uh-huh. I don't have the files anywhere except there, so.
Okay. So it's a direct download that is enabled there.
From my server.
From your server, okay.
And it's a torrent link. So the more people that share it, the faster they'll get it. And it doesn't require any network of anybody. It's an uncontrolled network. It's a network from my place to your place.
And is it also better for the climate?
Absolutely, because we're using... It doesn't come instantly. You have to take time. It'll download over time, depending on how big the strong the connection is between your place and my place.
That's the Resilio. I had that previously. Before I left, I was using that. I think I will join again.
No, it's not a joining. It's an app that you can actually you put it on your computer. It's an app you can use for your own internal.
It's true, but I was able
synchronizing of files.
Yes, but I was able with this to get always the newest publication on your website without doing anything.
Yes.
Sharing them. It downloaded them directly to my laptop.
Yes. Yes, I was using it for that. I don't even know if I'm still using it. Yeah, that was for the Fakeologist broadcast.
Yes,
exactly. Actually, do I have a link to, because I don't use it much, don't advertise it much, but I think all audio chats are, yes. All audio
chats are there, and all shows, everything that you have. All
yes,
shows.
And nobody is linking to it. Let me share that, too.
I was all linking audio... to it until I left. And then I closed everything down. And
oh, yes. Yeah. So all audio chats can be automatically downloaded without doing anything.
Exactly, yeah. It's very
practical. Yeah. It's actually, yeah, you don't have to do anything. They just show up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think I will do it again because it's much more easy. Although, meanwhile, you listen to audios on the phone when I'm walking around in the woods or in the street. So, I use another app there for this.
Well, I recommend, and I'm a patron of Podcast Addict for Android.
But it has much advertisement.
No, it doesn't. Not if you pay $5.
I don't pay on the internet.
Well, that's too bad because the people that write these programs and maintain them, they don't do it for free. No, it's if it has any adverts, they're very minor. You can't even notice them. So that's how I get all my podcasts.
I use AntennaPod on my smartphone. You know AntennaPod?
No.
It's very small and does the job.
Antenna pod on your Android?
Yeah. And I have there the you know, the usual things. Myths of the 20th century and no agenda, audio chats for colleges.
Okay, I see that now.
Yeah, it's good. It's really
I'll
good
put a link in the live stream show notes. This is more of a tech talk today.
You go always to the tech talk because you don't want to talk about ecology. You're tired of ecologists.
No, well, no, it's comes and goes. Yeah, I'm looking at that. Okay, I never heard of that one.
Me neither. I just searched for a bot application and I found that. And I took it, so.
Yeah, it looks good.
Very, yeah, not bad. Yeah, in New Zealand.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. Maybe it's new.
Oh, I have it a long time now. Almost a year, I think.
It's maintained by volunteers. There you go.
Okay. Do we have any listeners up? Are you viewing or?
I will look. You can look too, I think.
Yes, but I have troubles with two things at the same time. I'm not multitask. Only multipass.
There are two listeners.
Wow. Where from?
Where are they? I have United Kingdom and the United Kingdom.
Oh, cool.
One has been listening to the stream for an hour and one is for 4 minutes.
Yeah, you see that.
And I don't like the United Kingdom never says where in the United Kingdom. I don't know why they don't narrow it down.
Okay. Maybe it's because of privacy protection? Because, I don't know. Sometimes,
well, the United States and Canada, they always narrow it down to the city at least.
But that's not very protective because then you know from which city someone is listening. I mentioned or noticed that my connection is shown as Zurich sometimes. And I think it depends on which antennas are used for the, you know, it changes. Sometimes it's Bern, sometimes it's Zurich, sometimes it's Winterthur.
Well, I just looked up one of the IPs and they are in Scotland. But Scotland's obviously in the United Kingdom.
So you can view IPs also? Okay, cool.
Yes. The Icecast server can look up IPs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. And the other one, let's look it up. If you don't want your IP known, use a... The other one's in Cambridge. Maybe that's Tom Dalpra.
Cambridge. I mean, he lives in Cambridge, he says, yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk something smart for Tom. Let's talk why 9/11 is dead. You said that yesterday. Gaia said that also many times.
Well, the analysis of it was dead when I started in 2012. And Marcus told me that. He said, why are you talking about 9/11? We already know about it. Well, I agree with that. But I said I still would like to continue assembling information about it because it's relevant to convince people that they can be fooled. We haven't had one of that size since, so it's still the latest, even though it's 18 years old, 19 years old next year. Therefore, it's a good way to illustrate, our point. And sometimes when I'm reading actual stories in local areas here that I think are real, I remind myself that it is easy to fake things, and I have to remind even myself that 9/11 was effective in fooling me and everybody else. So why should I be so believing of local issues, some of the local stories that appear real but probably are not? So even myself, I use it as a touchstone to remember what the hell's going on around us in the media.
So just to understand you correctly, you say that 9/11 is dead means the analysis of the event is complete.
There's nothing new to discover. There's
really?
No,
I disagree completely with that.
About 9/11?
Yes.
Well, the official media doesn't release anything.
Yeah, but the 9/11 psyop is not dead. The 9/11 psyop is going on. Okay. The 9/11 psyop just started on 9/11/2001. I mean, if you are interested in the psyop as a whole, the analysis of the performance, let's say, as I call it, is just the analysis of the event, and that's also a very big chapter of it, which is not dead, because there are unsolved problems with the analysis of so many things, and that's one part only. The other part is, how was the hoax management organized?
Well, here's something new.
Yeah?
Every Friday, a new episode of Endless Thread appears in your podcast feed like frickin' magic.
But it ain't magic. It's hard work and research and time.
And quite honestly, money. It takes resources to make the show. And if you want WBUR, our home station, to let us keep making this show for you,
this is an intro
support
to
it. Make a donation in any amount.
So you're right.
Text
the
word ENDLESS to 44321.
Your donation will help us keep telling important stories like the infectious series on the anti-vaccination movement.
And solving mysteries like glitter and Vetus and the massive pile of plates.
It'll help us keep bringing you those lesser-known stories about history and humanity that make us see the world differently.
So if you care about that,
there's apparently
it.
A viral
keep it going
video on
in
Reddit
any amount.
About whether
just
this
text
picture
ENDLESS
that I put
to
in the
44321.
Thank is
you.
A hoax.
Okay. Here's the show.
Which it certainly looks like one.
Produced by the iLab at WBUR, Boston.
But I didn't understand what you
every
said.
Every Friday, a new episode of Endless...
Say that again?
Yes, I said while you were playing that, you were also talking, and I couldn't understand neither nor. So what?
You were
what,
just
what
saying there is nothing new, or I was saying there's nothing new, and when I looked up 9/11 in Google News...
Yeah,
there was
something
some new material. Yeah, there's some new discussion about something
about
surrounding.
What? Yeah, but what are they discussing?
It looks like they're discussing a picture.
Ah, okay.
Look in the live stream show notes if you would like.
Just a minute, yeah.
And make us see the world know about your fabulous show. Under Understood is a podcast that Billy and I make with two other co-hosts, Regina DeLay and Adrian Jeffries.
And the basic premise of it is that on every episode, we find a question that the internet can't answer. And we fill in the gaps, and we do some reporting, and hopefully by the end of an episode...
Does this not prove that everyone in the world has a podcast?
I don't know. I don't know. But this photo was discussed on September... No, what is it called? Info. September Clues Info.
No. It was? This one?
Yes, I've seen it. Or was it on the forum of psychologists? No, that's not new. That was discussed. But you're not researching up. You're just passing by sometimes and talking about techniques, and then you leave again.
That's right.
Yeah.
I'm not a researcher. I'm a curator. I've said that so many times.
Yeah, that's true.
I curate 9/11 information.
And you don't want to talk seriously with me about why 9/11 is not that.
I don't mind doing it. I wasn't prepared to tonight, though, because I'm just passing through to wish you Merry Christmas.
It's okay, that's okay. And besides that, I don't expect that everyone has the same interests that I have. But I think personally that 9/11 is, of course, not dead, because the most parameters of the 9/11 performance have not been analyzed. I mean, 99.9% of the performance has not been analyzed by nobody, and 100% of the hoax management, of the narrative, of the PSYOP, not of the victims or of the whereabouts or whatever, but of the narrative, what was the setup for the various plots and for the various, let's say, acts that the truth movement went through, and what happened in these areas the last 18 years? That has never been discussed. I think the whole story has never been discussed in public.
Yeah, you could be right. So I don't mind if you do it. That's great. By the way, you wanted to try another forum, so I have psychologist.com/forums2.
Yes, and I wanted to thank you for that.
Oh, that's fine.
I think it is maybe possible there to, you know, for example, the analysis of the New Zealand hoax or hoaxing up. Maybe there was something. As I understood it, this volcano is always a bit qualmy or smoky, and this is the touristic attraction. But the hoaxing up, as the analysts called it, was very extensive and could be maybe more comprehensible for someone who is interested in under a structure where more images are allowed where the structure is better. For myself, for my research, I am not yet sure it's the right structure, because I have about, what is it?
Yeah, you haven't posted on it yet, I don't think.
Yeah, I'm just trying to explain you the reason. I have about 100,000 images that I have to place somewhere. And I'm searching for the right form, you know, of presenting, analyzing with text, etc. And I'm not yet sure. I will try the forum because I asked for it, maybe for other topics, but... I saw that on Google itself, which I know what is Google, but they have this service with publication of imagery with beta. And this is a very, very good format, you know. If you present an image and you want to talk about the image, you can view it better, and you can publish also multiple images at the same time. You don't have to upload every image one by one, you know. It's very difficult if you want to do a protocol analysis, you know, for a sequence, for example. You have, I don't know how many hundreds of images. So this is the reason why I have not used it yet. That's why I'm explaining
this. Okay.
But I thank you for verifying my account, and I'm trying to use it for other topics. And maybe there some discussions come into fruition there. I hope so.
Well, that's good.
Yeah,
that's just another another forum on my site that you need your own login, a separate login, because they're all different softwares. They're all different software.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, if you want to use it, you have to get a new login, which isn't hard.
Yeah.
Just get the login and I'll help you. I'll sign you in.
I have the login already. And I
yeah, you have it, yeah.
Yeah, but other people would need one, yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what else is new?
Well, it's going to be a new year soon.
Oh, new year, yeah. I look forward to this 2020. I like the end of this decade was so crazy with all this psyops and financial stuff and international political stuff. Economic wars and psyops all the time.
Mystic, who foresaw 9/11, has dramatic predictions for 2020. Blind
that?
Bulgarian mystic who predicted 9/11 and Brexit also made dramatic predictions about the year ahead.
Man or a woman?
Didn't say.
And what she or he says for 2020?
All right. Her forecast makes for uneasy reading for Vladimir Putin and Donald Trump. As she said that the Russian president will face an assassination attempt and the U.S. president will fall seriously ill. A meteorite is also predicted to fall on Russia. Oh, dear. I hope it doesn't fall on Putin.
All these meteorites fall somewhere in the Mongolian steppes. They never fall into cities so that someone
can...
Yeah,
they're usually in Russia. Russia seems to be meteorite fakery specialists.
Yes, and maybe that's a compartmentalization between the states and the Russians. The other ones have the satellites, and the Russians have the meteorites. And the Chinese have the backside of the moon.
Yeah. I don't know what publication is this. It's called theweek.co.uk.
Where do you find such stuff up?
I just do everything from Google News, and I do a search under Google News, and it's supposed it's supposed to be a condenser or a curator of all the news that it can search and scrape.
Yeah.
And if you just do a search under 9/11 under Google News, you will get endless stories.
Yeah, but all are in the same narrative category.
Yeah.
So they're not interesting.
Cost of 9/11, cost of post 9/11 wars expected to top $6 trillion. I believe that.
I have no idea. I don't know. I don't know how many this number has. These trillions? How many?
Trillion is 12 zeros after a one.
Ah, you know so many zeros. Okay.
A billion is 9. A million is 6.
Okay.
After trillion is quadrillion. It's all Latin. And then quintillion.
What's the definition for war in this context?
I would say, and it says here, Netta Crawford, co-director of the Costs of War Project at Brown University Watson Institute for International Public Affairs and Boston University's Frederick S. Pardee Center for the Study of the Longer-Range Future, tallied up counterterrorism-related spending in a report titled United States Budgetary Costs and Obligation of Post-9/11 Wars through FY 2020, I guess financial year 2020. Amazing. And I believe that. It's all...
I think it's all the whole sector, I mean. You know,
all the defense industries. I believe some of the missiles cost a couple $100,000 every time they blow them off. It wouldn't take long to get to $6 billion.
You still believe in missiles? What kind of missiles?
I think that I think a plane launches missiles. I don't know
You remind me now on something very funny that I realized during my work with the 9/11 stuff again. I know I'm very boring with this, but I think this is interesting. The alleged distance between the camera and the Twin Towers in the CNN live broadcast establishing shot, that means that the first one where they are far away, you know what the distance is?
911 meters.
900? No, more.
What's the difference? What is it?
I don't know exactly because it's a dispute Matter in the Truth Movement, but it's between 4.5 and 7 miles. That's not the funny aspect. Do you know what the world record in sniper accuracy is?
No.
3 kilometers. It's less. So if you have a camera in that distance and you move it, you don't move it, but a little wind passes through the in the exterior standing camera. You know what happens? Uh-huh. You don't have an image anymore.
Huh.
I'm trying to collect arguments why this was a scale model set.
Okay.
This is one of the aspects, that the various editing elements in that movie, let's say, or filming material are not possible in the real world unless the camera is fixed on a stable equipment which is used for smooth, stable movements, as of the kind that are used in Hollywood productions when you do, for example, scale model shooting. And this is something, of course, which expert could prove better than me, but I'm studying and reading and improving my knowledge in this field, collecting questions. This is one of the questions. If it is possible to have this panning as it is, for example, in, I don't know, frame such and such or second such and such, if that is possible with the alleged equipment that is presented to us as the equipment. That's interesting. You know, the sniper world record is about 3,350 meters or something. So you can really, in that, and a camera is not a sniper telescope. it's not the same that you, And the various zoom elements that we have are not zooms, in my understanding. They are dolly zooms, as they are called in the cinematic language. That means that you have an object, big or small, whatever, in a specific distance, and you are focusing on that object, and you are not zooming in. That means you are not changing the focus of your lens, but you are moving the whole camera closer. And that is the technique that is used also for scale models.
Okay.
Because in this case, the alleged difference in the movement of the object that you are focusing on is able to explain this change that happens, but otherwise you are not able to explain it. If it's a real tower in that distance and you use this camera, you cannot do this movement. It's that simple.
Interesting. And,
I don't know if it's interesting for you, but I think it should be interesting for those who are, let's say, Ace Baker, or who are saying that they are specialists in moving images. And they focus on some very profane faults of the imagery and do not focus on those elements of the imagery that are really able to be evidence for fakery. This is the big dispute about this so-called Chopper 5 shot, which Ace Baker has...
Did you watch The Great American Spy Opera as well?
Yes, I watched it. Last but not least, I watched it some months ago. It's one of the material that I had to watch, you know, because otherwise I could not have an opinion.
Yeah, what did you think of it?
The method by which I approach this material is that I am trying to understand what is presented and what is not presented, and I, because it is one of the big conflicts within the TV fakery movement, the Ace Baker, September Clues, Eric Salt debate is the one that is able to offer us, I don't know the better word, to offer us many interesting points of why this was chosen in the hoax management of the 9/11 PSYOP. This was chosen, I am sure about that. This was part of the whole PSYOP, and it was, of course, prepared years before the event itself. There are not many options. Either it is fake, and then it was prepared, and then it has to be answered like that, or it is not fake, then you have to answer it like that. So, you know, this theory from Tom TC, Tom from TT, CT, not TT.
Connecticut.
Connecticut, which I...
Oh, did you listen to all those audios?
Yes, I did. And
they're pretty good, aren't they?
Tom from CT knows somebody who died in the towers.
Oh, okay, I don't remember that part.
And I'm
did
not
he
sure
say who
if
it was?
Trustworthy? No, he didn't say that in that interview. But for me, this makes a big question mark. If somebody knows somebody who died in the towers.
Oh, I agree. But I was just focus on his PSYOP talk. Did you like that?
It is.
We just discusses PSYOP.
Yes, but he discusses the PSYOP as an analyst of the military. He doesn't discuss it as a person. I mean, he knows a lot about it, and he's very helpful in discussions when it is confrontational, etc. And he seems a very interesting person, and I cannot say I have an opinion now, but what I heard from him about PSYOP analysis is more of the methodology. How does the military do it? So it's more of the category of informing us what we have to watch for. But I am more interested in his theory of the competing hypothesis method, and that's why I wrote that comment.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried to find this material. I don't know. Is he still active? Is he involved
no,
in the debate?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. I also wanted to listen to the debate between John Friend and this other guy, Scott.
It wasn't worth it. It wasn't good.
Yes, you said that, yes.
No, no good.
But you haven't...
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
The Matrix is everywhere. It is all around us. You can see it when you look out your window or when you turn on your television. It is the world... that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth.
I thought, though, something, and it was a commentary by Wanda, who was obviously a participant here in Fakeology, because she wrote also comments on the blog, as I saw, and she had a comment under the discussion of this podcast between John Friend, Mike something, and Scott.
Mike Delaney.
Mike Delaney and Scott Rogers? Something?
I don't even know.
Yeah, I don't remember the names of all of them. And I don't want to search now. And she had a comment in the comment section of another blog where this was discussed. And this brought me to episode 78 of Fakeologist.com, where in the year 2013, in December, on the same day, you had a show, and you were tandem streaming, or how is it called?
Simulcasting.
Simulcasting the show of John Friend, and so I could eavesdrop, or how is it said, called,
mm-hmm.
into that debate, and it was really not so interesting. But the episode 78 is interesting of Fakeologist.com. Shall I put a link into that? No,
sure.
Because I don't have... You know, I have only the audio. I cannot link to my laptop. I have downloaded it. Yeah.
Well, you have to find the link on the site.
No, you know, this is from the period where I had Resilio and I have downloaded and kept them. I have saved them. I cannot link to your blog. That's what I mean.
Oh. Well, that debate was just... It wasn't a debate. It wasn't a good audio. I would have never saved it. I remember it well enough to not waste my time. It was not good. Nothing was learned.
Yeah, but they did not, obviously, they did not discuss about topics or questions raised by September Clues. They were just discussing about Simon Schack as a person, and they were bashing him, something like that. But, you know, it is still interesting, because if someone traces back the evolution of the truth movement, and especially the part of TV fakery in within the, which is obviously the most important, as we know, because it, because the live transmissions were fake, then it is very impressive to see that there is a shift of paradigm from the truth movement, which excludes the TV fakery debate. And the TV fakery debate is pushed into a far-right context. And that's the reason why I wanted to listen to that audio, because that is one of the... This is the period, in my research at least, between 2010 and 2013, where this paradigm shift happened. So I have the hypothesis that this is a... strategic element of the hoax management of 9/11, not just an accident.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I'm going to have to pass out now, unfortunately, Faye.
Oh, no problem. No problem.
You can continue on. I wanted to say hi and just bounce a few ideas off you. I think we've done that.
I think I'm going also, because it's already 2 here. And,
It was
nice
to
talk to you again, and... maybe we could arrange something to talk about other material again with people about fakery, etc.
Oh, for sure.
Are you doing with Jerry's something constant, or did I get that wrong? Is it just by happenstance, or is it once a week, or how are you doing?
I told him a good time was Saturday morning my time.
Mm-hmm.
That's sort of an uninterrupted... mostly time for me.
Okay.
I don't have access to my computer because I'm on the road at that time, but it's certainly time if you brought up information. I could comment on it, but I can't bring any audios or videos to the fore from my mobile device.
Okay.
But I'm certainly, if you want to talk at that time, then I can. Use me to bounce ideas off. I'm happy to oblige.
Just talking, talking, I like talking about topics, etc., but for this research that I'm doing, I could use, how is the English expression? I would appreciate it if someone has the interest in this material. Otherwise, it's not useful for me, you understand, because I can spend time just talking about, but the other person should have an idea what is the material we are talking about. If it's just free style, it doesn't give any, insights or something. So this is just a call out for anyone who is interested in 9/11 hoax management, narrative management, opposition management, TV fakery management, to just... come and join this discussion.
Absolutely. Okay, Faye, nice chatting with you, and have Merry Christmas again.
Yes, and have a nice New Year.
Yeah, we'll chat again.
Okay,
and
sure.
I should be off. I should have some time on New Year's Day as well.
Okay,
the day off here, even though I'm going out for a levy, New Year's levy.
Have a wonderful time, Up. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
That's all, folks.